Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let us continue what we have been discussing on the force of faith, again by reading from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. He said, I will stand on my watch, and I will wait to see what he will say to me. He said, write the vision in verse 2 and make it plain that it may run that reads it. And in verse 4, he says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And we also read again from Hebrews chapter 11. From verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, in verse 3, he says, we understand that the worlds were framed or prepared by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, we have been explaining the meaning of the word to live by faith. It said the just man or the righteous man, who is that man? The man who hears the instruction of God, who reads the things that are written and runs as a result of it. Do you understand? He said that man will be delivered from death. He will be delivered from judgment. The calamity that is coming or that he was currently under, he will be spared from the final assault of it and he will be delivered. And we will say the man has lived, that is, as opposed to die. Therefore, he says to live by faith can be also expressed as to acquire life or escape death as a result of your faith. I said there's a difference between walking by faith and living by faith. The man who is walking by faith is the one who hears the word of God and obeys it. Now, this man who hears God's word and obeys it, he will escape judgment, he will escape death. We say the man has therefore lived because he walked by faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's the connection between the two. And last time we began to explain the meaning of the word faith, I noted two scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. And I was explaining that Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the fact that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible, but rather they are framed by the word of God. Let me just explain something further about that before I now go on to the issue of faith on two different levels, as substance of things hoped for, as opposed to faith as the evidence of things not seen. Now, I was explaining that the things that will happen are not dictated by the things that have happened, but they are dictated by the things that have been spoken by God, which we are believing and we are speaking also. I want to just explain something further about that. When God wants to do something, in fact, I will be able to tie that to what I'm about to say about faith as a substance of things hoped for. When God wants to do something, the first thing he does is to write them down. Please, let me explain that again. When Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What he actually said, if you looked at the sense or the true meaning of what he was saying, is like this. He said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That is, God has something planned. God is like an architect or a builder. The Bible says that the builder of all things is who? God. He said every house is built by some man. He said the builder of all things is God. And we know the way it is when we want to build. We don't start building a building and discover a purpose for the building at the end. Do we do it like that? No. When we want to start a building, we make up our minds from the beginning. Is this a residential building? Then what do we want? What level of residential building? Is it low-cost housing or you want it to be a palace? Whatever it is, you design the house according to the purpose that you have in mind. What we are saying that God is that God is also like that. He designs before he begins to build. Now, that's what I want you to understand. So before you were given birth, though, God already designed what your life should be. And David said it before there was any one of the days appointed for me. He said they were recorded in thy books, O God. And Jesus was prophesied concerning, and he also said it himself, that before I was born, God already planned for me to do something. He said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. He said, I come to do thy will, O my God. That is, what is God's will? Let me say that again. God's will is that which he recorded before you were born. God's will is that which he recorded as his plan for mankind and his plan for your life. And God's will is that which he recorded as his purpose for you to fulfill on the earth. So now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. So he says that By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I want to explain that. So what your life is supposed to be like, what our nation as a country is supposed to be like, what every nation on this earth is supposed to be like, why God created them, was recorded in his books before those nations were created. Now, bear that one in mind. Now, so what the nation will be like, what the individual will be like, if they are going to walk according to the will of God, is to be in accordance with that which was recorded. Do you follow my point? Now, let's get back to the matter of prayer. That was why Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Now, we say, why did Jesus say we should pray like that? And that's what I want to discuss about that Hebrews chapter 1. There was something I taught. There was a series we did on in the ministry office, which is still available in our archives, which we titled Anatomy of Prayer. And I explained them that there are three things that control the events on this earth. I said number one is the purpose of God. And we said number two is the behaviors of men. And number three, they are the prayers of men. Now, those are the three things. You have number one, God's purpose is recorded intent. And number two, the way people behave, all right, on earth, the morals they observe, their behaviors towards people, people's characters and their heart attitudes release spiritual forces, all right, that affects the fertility of their land. Believe what I'm trying to say. It affects their trade. It affects their ability to produce constant power supply. It affects all those things. It just is an invisible thing. Some that's inside their heart. Like we have said, we understand that the words were framed by things that are invisible. Now, so those things affect the manifestation of God's plan on the earth. And we said, last of all, the prayers of men. Now, what do you mean by the prayers of men? Because if people have done wrongly, they can frustrate the plan of God, but only as it concerns their lives. Let me explain what I say. If God has destined that Nigeria as a nation will be great, if this whole generation decides that it will not be great, God will punish the whole generation. If it comes to that, he will wipe out that whole generation and give birth to another generation from their seed. That's the interesting part. There's a scriptural example for it. When God went to Egypt and decided to deliver what he called his firstborn, he said, Israel is my firstborn. Therefore, say to Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. That was God's plan. He wanted to take them to a good land where they will be able to serve him in freedom, all right, and with liberty of worship. Now, on the way, the people said, we cannot enter. And God turned to Moses. He said, you know what I want to do? I will kill all of them. And from you, Moses, I will raise another nation that will enter into that promised land. And Moses said, no. But you know what eventually happened? Because of the disobedience of their hearts, the people were still punished. They still died in the wilderness. And it was another generation that entered into the promised land. What am I going to explain? There was a plan of God that these people should enter into the promised land. But because... listen, because they did not cooperate with God in their hearts, they did not enter the promised land, but their descendants entered the promised land. That is, they frustrated the counsel of God for their lives, but they could not frustrate ultimately the plan of God. Do you understand my point? That's why you have to be careful. In fact, we should read the scripture before I continue in my explanations. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'll just tell the story, and I will probably not read the whole thing. If you read from the latter part of chapter 6, you will see that Syria, all right, they besieged Samaria, that's another kingdom of Israel, so much that things became so expensive that people actually, some widows actually killed their own children and they were going to eat them. They ate one and were going to eat the other. Now, this is the point. Because of that, the king now went to see Elisha, the prophet. And Elisha now prophesied. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 7. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour, that's a measure of fine flour, shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, this was something fantastic. What it means is that, let's take Nigeria as an example. You are saying that, thus says the Lord, by tomorrow morning, a liter of petrol will be going for 25 kobo. Do you follow what I'm going to say? All right. And that a liter of diesel will be going for only 18 kobo. He said, why? Because it will be so abundant, nobody will want to buy it. He said, ah. You can imagine how he's supposed to say that. What about cars? He said, cars, a brand new Japanese car, maybe something like a Toyota Camry, will be going for 125,000 naira. You know, that's how ridiculous this thing sounded, all right, in the hearing of this man. And the, so if you read verse 2, because of how ridiculous it sounded, in verse 2, so an officer on whose hand the king leaned, that is a royal officer, answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And the prophet answered him, he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, this is the danger, all right, in disobeying prophecy or disagreeing and verbalizing your disagreement with prophecy. There was something that Bishop David Oyedepo said, I heard him many years ago. He said, no prophecy ever leaves you the same. He said, it's either building you up or it is bringing you down. That if you agree with it, it builds you up. But if you disagree with it, even the little you thought you had, it will remove it from you. Do you follow my point? Now, just to conclude that story, these things happened exactly as Elisha prophesied. And this, because of the commotion that was at the city, there was so much abundance of food. The king deployed this man to go and maintain law and order. And because of the commotion, they trampled him to death. He saw the trade. He saw things being sold so cheap, but he never got the opportunity to buy his own. Because they trampled him to death. Listen, that death was not by accident. It was a judgment. It was the effect of the prophecy that he disobeyed. Now, back to our Hebrews chapter 11. I said that, you see, God has a plan. And that plan of God, all right, is his purpose. Now, we can frustrate it as it concerns our lives, but we cannot frustrate the ultimate performance of it. Therefore, you hear people say, maybe they say something like, I was reading that come the year 2025, Nigeria will be the most desirable nation to live in on the earth. I've heard different men of God in Nigeria make that statement. I've even seen the manifestation of it in governmental policies going towards 2020 and the year 2025. Now, some people hear it, and you know what they do? They laugh and say, these things cannot happen. So the people hear it, and they laugh, and it makes me feel bad. I don't feel bad for myself or for the nation. I feel bad for them. Do you understand my point? I feel bad for them. Because when you laugh like that, you will not participate of the good come the year 2025. And what proof do they have? He said, what do you mean? A nation that wants to be one of the greatest nations in just about 17 years' time. You are telling me, and the nation as at today, you know, they are not even generating enough power. Last week, Nepal generation dropped to 800 megawatts, all right, nationwide. He said, look at it. And you are telling me they will be, you know, a great nation by the year 2025. Listen to me. This is why I'm talking about faith. Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does faith say? Faith agrees with what is not seen that's going to happen, even though what is seen does not seem to agree. Do you understand the point? That is what faith is. Faith says, look, it may not make sense. I like one of my favorite scriptures from the Bible. It's from Isaiah chapter 34. It said, look from the book of the Lord and read. He said, none of this shall fail. Not one word that God has declared will fail. He said, neither will anyone want his mate. That is, everything that is necessary for the fulfillment of that prophecy will be brought to the scene. He said, why? Is it because it's natural? Is it? No. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has gathered it. Listen, this is how God does things. Go and read Psalm 126. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. That is, a nation that was generating 800 megawatts. A nation of 140 million people generating 800 megawatts nationwide today. In 12 months' time, can be generating 30,000 megawatts. And people will say, what happened? And we will say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. Then you know that funny thing? People start making excuses. We're just lucky that a group of oil companies gathered and invested. We're just lucky that a group of Nigerians that were doing business before in Lagos gathered and invested. That is what I call blessed. I said, luck is the colloquial expression for the word blessing. When the plan of God is about to be fulfilled in your life, you become lucky. Do you get my point? In fact, you need to be very ignorant or just be, you must be a determined self-deceiver not to know that Nigeria has witnessed a lot of great things despite what reports have said. There was a time they told us we couldn't afford phones. Now they ate those words. Now I heard that some companies are bidding for MTN, including Vodafone, who our president begged, man to man, told their president, beg them, there's chop in Nigeria. They said Nigerians can't afford phones. I was reading a report by the Economist on Vietnam. Same thing happened in Vietnam. They said that the Vietnamese could not afford phones. They found out that every villager, one in every three villagers, had a phone. They couldn't understand it. They want to believe lies. Do you follow what I'm saying? We have seen it happen. What they tell us we can't afford, we afford it. They begin to wonder why. Let me tell you something. We have experienced a lot of the preservation of the power of God. And listen, the Bible says that when God preserves people, it's because they're about to inherit salvation. I know what I'm saying. If God preserves you in the center of adversity, and you're able to live through adversity and survive it, listen to me, he's not going to leave you the same. He's going to make sure that you experience his salvation. What is God's salvation? He's going to pour that prosperity upon you. Listen to me, year 2025 will come. Not only will you be in a country that is the most desirable country on the earth, you will be amongst those controlling where those who want to live in it will live. Listen, that's the power of prosperity. It's to be able to take control so as to fulfill the purpose of God for a nation. Are you getting my point? So I was explaining that that's the first thing that God does. He writes down his plan. And listen to this. If nobody believes those plans, it is never canceled. Listen, I need to explain this. It is just suspended until the people that will believe it will come. God's plans are never canceled. They are just suspended until the people that will believe those plans will come. That's the way God works. Are you getting my point? If God has purpose, he will accomplish it. You can grumble all you like. Let me tell you something. We're talking about 2025. If no Nigerian believes it, it will never happen. Does it mean God lied? No! And that's one thing I want to explain. You know, I told you I'm going to develop that issue of Hebrews chapter 1 about faith being on two levels. There is faith as the evidence of things not seen. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. You can't do anything about it. Whether you believe it or not, he died. He said, how can a virgin give birth to a child? And, is it possible? A man who was practicing a great message told me that once, that you said, look at it. He said, the natural order is that a male will meet a female and an offspring will come. He said, for you people to tell us that Jesus was born of a virgin is against natural order. I looked at him and like R.W. Schambach, somebody like that told R.W. Schambach once, R.W. Schambach was is a great, an elderly American preacher now, a fairy preacher. He said, oh, preacher, you mean you believe that a fish actually swallowed Jonah? That a whale swallowed Jonah for 3 days? The preacher said, yes, I do. And for your information, if the Bible said that Jonah was the one that swallowed the whale, I would believe it also. I looked at the man and said, the word of God said Jesus was conceived of a virgin. I believe it. A few years later, they cloned Dolly. Do you follow my... Oh, he said, what's Dolly? Dolly was the first mammal to be cloned by science. They have cloned horses. They have cloned all kinds of mammals now. It now became a matter of moral issue. Should we clone human beings? Now, this is the point I'm going to make. What that man told me then, that naturally it's against the law of nature. Even science has done it. And the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ask or even think about. So if science can think and perform the cloning of a mammal, how much more can God make a virgin conceive? Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, he said, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, neither shall any want its mate. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded. He said, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has gathered. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. Listen, if God wants to turn power generation in Nigeria from 800 megawatts to 30,000 megawatts in 12 months, he can do it. An interesting thing, it wouldn't be his first time. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. Please, let's get this point. What am I saying? Faith has two levels. There is faith of things that happened thousands of years ago. Even though the world is made of all those who believe that virgins can't conceive, can it change the fact that Mary conceived as a virgin and that Jesus died and rose again on the third day? It cannot change that fact. It is faith as the evidence of things that we did not see. He said, blessed is the one. Jesus looked at Thomas and was saying, he said, you have believed because you have seen. He said, blessed are those who will believe without seeing. That is, these things that we have, that's happening right now, thousands of years will come. Banky and his listeners will believe them, though they were not there, and I will bless them as a consequence. There are statements that I read in the scriptures, and I know that God has blessed me by the words of Jesus Christ. He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. I believe. I know I'm blessed. Are you getting my point? He said, I pray not only for them. We're talking about Peter, James, John, and the other disciples. He said, I pray also for those who will believe by their words? I have read the words of James, John. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've read the words of all those disciples and I believe them. Therefore, I know the prayers of Jesus Christ is blessing my life right now. You are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, what's the point I'm making here? That faith takes that thing that happens in the past and it believes it. And it says faith is the evidence of things not seen. But there is another kind of faith. He said the word preached, let's quickly read this, Hebrews chapter 4. It said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, that's verse 2, as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, please notice that God promised them that they will enter into his rest. And God declared that these people, you are my people, I will take into my rest. He said, but that the word preached did not profit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Now, something I want you to understand is that when Jesus went to his hometown, the Bible said that he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. The way I like to ask is this. If you know of the person of Jesus, who Peter testified that we have heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him and he went everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So we see that he was anointed. Do you understand? And he had the power to do good and to heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. But the Bible said he went to his hometown, Nazareth, and he could there do no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. Now, the question is, that was it the one that didn't have power or it was their unbelief? We now understand it was their unbelief. That is, even though he went there and couldn't. Now, please, don't misunderstand what was said. He did not say he did not or did not want to or refused to. He said he could not. It says, saving that he laid his hand on a few sickly folk and healed them. It was not his fault. That is, God can promise something. Do you understand? The word preached will not profit people if it is not mixed with faith in their hearts. Please let me explain something to you. If we declare good is coming into your life, it is faith as the substance of things hoped for. What is hope? An expectation. Your faith must give you an expectation. This point I'm making, that expectation will not come to pass, but because of that faith. That is, only that faith can make it come to pass. So if something good does not happen, listen to this. It is not because God didn't plan it or the preacher lied. It is because the people did not believe it. And that's why I'm teaching about the force of faith. What does faith do? Faith, by force, pulls down to the earth the thing that God planned to do. Two things are necessary to bring forth effect on the earth. Number one, the willingness of God. Number two, the willingness of man. What do people do? They start grumbling and murmuring. We are not able. Power generation is down to 800 megawatts. Therefore, we are not able. Are you getting my point? They grumble and complain so much based upon what they can see, and their ability to do is removed from them. Please, are you getting my point? What am I preaching tonight? I'm preaching to people that with faith, we, you and I, will make things happen on the earth. Later on, we'll talk about the dynamics of faith, how faith works. One of the ways by which faith is released is by the words that we speak. I say boldly all the time that I'm a minister of the gospel. What do I mean by minister of the gospel? That I serve to people the good plan of God for their lives. And I stir them up to faith, because once we hit that critical mass, the eruption, the atomic level eruption, all right, it will happen and release so much good upon the land. You see, God does not work with everybody. I don't expect that of the tens of thousands or possibly hundreds of thousands of people listening to me tonight, that everybody will believe what I'm saying. There's what the Bible calls a remnant. Amongst the people hearing me, there are those who will believe, and God needs those people. In atomic science, they call it critical mass. Once those people can unite with God, they will erupt. Let me tell you, the power, is it, what about the big people, the corrupt people, the people in power that would not help allow us to manifest? Listen to me, they will be judged if necessary, that you might manifest if you will believe. I said something last time. I said the work of the believer, listen to me, is not a game of chance or a game of calculation. None of the above. It's a work that is ignited by the grace of God. Nobody knows when that grace will be released. There is a power working towards that fellow. You will be shocked at the day it will come.
Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, you can look and say, we have calculated, this is what will happen. And you get there, nothing like that happens. They say, what happened? It was because last night, the grace of God came and it turned things around. Or we could calculate that this, nothing good will come out of this country. And then the next day will come. He said, look at it. What has happened here? He said, because the day before, the mighty power of God was released and it turned the situation. What am I trying to explain? What will happen tomorrow cannot be predicted by what is happening today. There is a power of God that we are drawing down by faith. When I call myself a minister of God, what I mean is this. I am challenging you and I'm drawing you into the company of faith that we might reach a critical mass. And the explosion of our critical mass, listen, it's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. We're not going to form a cult, a network of believers who give each other businesses. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not going to form, look, if you want to form a network, form it amongst yourself, friends. I won't go and look for the Christians in Lagos to join with me. Listen, the only thing we are going to join with, all right, is in a matter of faith. It's in the spiritual realm we will speak. I said earlier that one of the ways by which faith is released is by what we say. Once you believe with me and you begin to talk like I do, listen to me, saints of God, eventually you will wake up one morning and listen, I have come to an understanding now, specifically about Nigeria as a country, that our situation will not change gradually. It will change suddenly. Believe me, the way I understand it now is that Nigerian situation will not change gradually. It will change suddenly. Our case will be when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. It was as if we're dreaming. So that's what I'm explaining. That you see, the things that will happen, we have to pull them down by our faith. Do you get what I'm going to say? We will talk the word of God. There is a plan that God has written. And I said two things are important for the manifestation of that plan. Number one, all right, is the willingness of God, but very important, as importantly, is the willingness of man. It is our willingness that will make that plan come to pass in our generation. You say, oh, Pastor Banky, what has God said? Let me tell you, it is right for you to quote in prayer that God, I heard your servant preach on radio, and he said that good is coming out of this land. That is what God has said. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? Listen, one of the jobs of Satan is to steal faith. This major work that Satan has is to make people disagree with God. He looked at Eve and said, has God really said, you shall not eat? And Eve said, that was not that. What he said is that we can eat, but if we eat this one, we will surely die. He said, hey, wait, you will not surely die. The moment Eve began to agree with Satan, she died. Do you understand my point? Listen, don't let Satan take away your faith. This is the most important thing. Because that faith is not just a matter of morals. It's not just a matter of which church I go to. I am saying it's a force that is necessary to birth a good season for your children. It's a force that is necessary to eradicate evil in the land. Listen, don't say that only few of us believe. I have explained something to you, the principle of remnant. 10 people will have preserved Sodom and Gomorrah. 10. Listen, you and I, a few people like us, will preserve this land. And from us, God will turn things around. And one day, people will say, is it the same country that could not generate 1,000 megawatts of power? And I say, oh boy, that's what we see. Yes, it is the doing of the Lord. Are you getting my point? And it's marvelous in our sight. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.